and welcome all to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. Unfortunately, we couldn't do a podcast last week due to other reasons and things like that. Welcome back. We're back after the IPL. We were planning on doing a preview for the India versus South Africa series. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it. I'm joined now by my host, co-host Venkat. Hello, Venkat. How are you?
Hi, Trini. I'm doing very well. Thanks.
So, the IPL is finished a couple of weeks ago, and there is a whole host of international cricket that's happening now. I mean, I think we were talking about this earlier. Some of the series at the minute, you know, just white ball series, are almost like pit stops. Pakistan playing West Indies just for a 3 ODI.
Yeah.
Coming on the back of, like, you know, they played Netherlands for a white ball tournament. Australia are in Sri Lanka playing just a white ball tournament again. I think they've just finished the 3 T20s. We'll have a look at all of those in the news section. Yeah. Just generally talking about how it's just not India. Once the IPL is finished, there is suddenly a glut of international cricket that started across.
Yeah.
Where do we start? I mean, let's just look at, you know, kind of in our, you know, we normally do the news section before we go on to the India specific discussion. Just having a look at what's happening internationally, like, you know, away from India. I mentioned, like, Pakistan versus West Indies series, and West Indies played a three match white ball series. That's just on the back of the one against Netherlands in Netherlands, and then they moved to Pakistan, and then they lost all three. So quite a bit of up and down, you know, with West Indies cricket as usual at the minute. Not quite sure, like, you know, where they are. Definitely on the ODI, more likely, like, you know, not so much the T20 probably, but the ODI, there still seems to be, like, you know, finding their way on that. Australia in Sri Lanka, I don't know if you managed to catch any of that.
I did. One match that was very memorable. I sent you the link to the highlights as well. I think 50 runs of 3 overs. That was the only thing I remember.
And yeah, Shanaka, wasn't it? Captain Shanaka.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's completely...
Much needed win for Sri Lanka at this point in time. And I'm sure our friends over at Sri Lankan Cricket Podcast would absolutely love.
Yeah.
Let's see what they have to cover.
Yeah, definitely. Name dropping there. But yeah, Australia won a couple of the T20s, and then there was the third one. And England are obviously playing New Zealand in a test series at home before the arrival of India. So the start of a reign of the new captain, Ben Stokes, at Lords, you know, with a good thrilling win. Joe Root seems to be the only, like, you know, what used to be the Fab Four. He's the only one that's in form at the minute. The rest of the Fab Four, although we should probably extend it to a Fab Five now, to include Babar Azam, but
yeah.
The rest of the other three in terms of have lost, well, they've not lost their captain, but Kane Williamson hasn't. But I did hear a comment the other day saying, like, you know, maybe it's time for, similar to Virat Kohli, Kane Williamson, and similar to, like, you know, Joe Root, to relinquish his captaincy and focus on his batting.
Yeah, I had polite inquiries question once that I remember seeing. Is Joe Root the Fab One? I thought it made me chuckle.
I think at this point, you know, given the phenomenal form that he's been in in the last 18 months, he's probably, there's the Fab One, and then there's the rest of the Fab Four, including Babar Azam, you know, who will probably jump up as Steve Smith, Williamson, and Kohli at this point in time. Fingers crossed, you know, this break works good for Kohli and he comes back into form and we come back to the England tour.
Yeah.
The other international cricket that's actually going to start later this week is England's white ball team going to Netherlands. We saw this I think a couple of years back when, you know, Australia were playing a test series at home while the white ball team was away in India, or maybe the other way around. The test team was in India, and they're playing a white ball series at home.
Did India do that as well, Srini? I mean, sorry to interject. I think India did. There was one series that was running in Sri Lanka, and then...
Yeah, indeed. You're right. Absolutely. Like, wasn't it...
Shikhar Dhawan was...
Shikhar Dhawan was captain. India were away in Sri Lanka, isn't it? Was it when we were in England last year?
Yeah.
Test series.
Yeah.
Yeah, India's B team sort of thing. You know, they were playing away a series in Sri Lanka. Yeah, so it looks... Surely that's the signs, like, you know, there are too many matches being played now. There's just not enough places in the calendar, if you like, you know, time in the calendar when you see that teams have got to, like, on one hand, it makes you think, yes, there's a lot, but it also kind of, on the other way, you look at it, like, you know, there's a deviation happening in terms of there's a test team and there's a white ball team.
Yeah.
So you see, like, you know, the white ball teams are available, so you can actually have two separate teams now playing, you know, for the same country. You can argue both ways around, like, you know, on one side of it, you talk about the fact that it dilutes international cricket. You know, people will not be paying much attention to the, well, at least, it's an argument in both ways. You know, even going back to the fact, like, you know, I'm probably much more, you know, I prefer my test cricket over my white ball cricket, so it's like, you know, probably playing more focus on the test ball, test matches versus, you know, white ball, and that's it is two different crowds that it's, you know, the fan following is two different, I think, slightly different. So yeah, it's maybe that's the way it will go down, but I guess my question to you is, like, you know, this is possible only for India, Australia, and England. Surely the rest of the other test playing nations may not be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it is also to do with the money that the boards have. One is to kind of raise the teams, but also the broadcasting and the physios and all the, you know, surrounding, you know, expenses that go with raising a team. I think any other country would be able to. I don't know. I stand, I stand somewhere on the fence as always on that situation, whether it's good or not. But I guess it's good for cricket players because they get to represent their country without having to, you know, kind of line up their calendars. I think it's easier for scheduling as well. A lot of clubs do that, don't they? I mean, they have their first 11 playing somewhere and the second.
Yeah. Playing elsewhere. Yeah, so, I know, playing English club cricket, we do see, like, you know, Saturday first 11 playing one and Saturday second 11 playing elsewhere and sort of thing. But yeah, no, that's true. The interesting to see, like, you know, where it goes. We'll probably sort of, you know, related, because it also comes down to about, you know, sort of broadcast rights and all of those things. And obviously, the big auction for the IPL for the next 5 years is happening, you know, yesterday today. So we'll touch about that in a minute. Segueing into kind of, you know, the other international cricket, let's talk about Indian international cricket at the minute. You know, talking about white ball cricket and everything else coming on the back of IPL. It hasn't been a great start. This road to the World Cup against South Africa, you know, Rishabh Pant's captaincy hasn't gotten on the best foot, losing the first two of those five games. Let's look at that first game. You know, India batting first and sort of scoring 211. The one good thing, Ishan Kishan, I think we were talking this during the game, you know, where I was saying Ishan, he wasn't the most fluent, you know, when obviously he was coming out of poor form in the IPL, you know. And he wasn't quite middling the ball at the beginning, but then he stayed long enough and he managed to get, like, you know, 76. So that was one good thing out of that game. And pretty much everybody seemed to be, like, you know, going at it in Delhi. You know, it's a much small ground. You know, it's the Rishabh Pant's home ground.
Yeah.
So it's a good place for him to start his captaincy. What did you make of, like, you know, the rest of that game?
Yeah, I just happened to, catch the highlights. I didn't watch the actual game, but I was able to catch the highlights. And I think, Rishabh Pant, first of all, Rahul being injured, in a way, Rishabh Pant was the accidental captain, but he's not new to it. And I thought, personally, I would have played Dinesh Kartik a little bit ahead, probably in my bet. That game, from my point of view, Ishan Kishan was phenomenal in terms of how he hit, I think 11 fours or something he hit. But I was more impressed by how South Africa was facing it. From a cricketing point of view, obviously I would still want India to win, and David Miller carrying on the good form that he was in. He was just belligerent, I think. That turn, I think India had the upper hand in the game when they were bowling with Quinton de Kock out, and then Bowman and Pretorius falling without much of the distancing impact. But then Rassie went at this, and then David Miller's knock, I remember particularly well because he hit more sixes than fours, and so did Rassie van der Dusen. I think they were quite impactful innings.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, like, during the game, you mentioned, was it like an 80, 85% to 15 or 84, 16%, something like that in favor of
Yeah, it
India?
was very high. ESPN predictor said 92% or something that it
Yeah,
scored.
it was significantly, like, there's a big difference between the
Yeah.
two. But then I came back and said to you, like, that just seems ridiculous because at that point, like, I think it was about 15, 16 overs, they both were at the same score with
Yeah.
South Africa having lost an extra wicket. And it was, well, obviously one of the things was, like, Rassie van der Dusen actually was struggling in that game. It was that dropped
Yeah.
catch by, was it Shreyas Iyer, I think, who
Yeah.
dropped him. And then, he was completely like mayhem after that, the David Miller. I mean, David Miller, we obviously have seen him do this. Well, he just won the IPL with the Gujarat
Yeah.
Titans. So he's coming into this in full form. So he knew as long as David Miller was there, there was a very good chance that he might do it, and he did. The one, I mean, for me in that particular match, it was not so much India's batting, it was more about how poor
India's,
India's bowling was.
yeah.
Especially, like, I think it's same, probably in the next match as well, which we'll touch at. But Yuzvendra Chahal, like, compared to what he was in IPL, he's come into these two games and he's been absolutely pasted.
Yeah.
He went for something like
12 runs.
26, yeah, in 26 in
12
a.
runs and over. Yeah, he was absolutely. And the other interesting thing, now that you talk about bowling, is Harshal Patel. You'd expect him to bowl at the death, having carried his experience from IPL, but he was started around as well, 4 overs 43. But Hardik Pandya's 1 over was he hit 3 sixes of that. I think that changed the
Yeah,
dynamic, really.
and then it kind of makes you think, like, I know we've got within our group, people who completely not hate the IPL, but just think, like, there are people who perform in the IPL, but when it comes to India, they don't. And it this was a big thing, the last World Cup where India had been exhausted after the IPL in the UAE, and then went to the World Cup and subsequently obviously failed. Coming out of the IPL this time around again, you look at Hardik Pandya's contribution in terms of both bowling and batting in the two games.
Yeah.
It's poor. Same thing with Yuzvendra Chahal in the other match as well. The second match as well, he went for, like, big runs, almost 45, 40 plus runs, and so that was again, like, 12 and over. For me,
Yeah.
yeah, go
There
on.
is that, sorry, Srini, I was going to say that there is that, it almost feeds the
Feeds the
this
narrative,
time to say
yeah.
conspiracy theorists to say, hey, are they playing IPL with more intensity than actually for the country? But I think, again, I go back to this, T20 is a very ruthless match. Once somebody clicks and there's no room for recovery, there's no room for mistake. I mean, three, four deliveries like we saw in Hardik's over, three sixes, and then suddenly you're in a different zone.
Yeah, I agree. Like, no, I'm definitely not one for the conspiracy theory. But however, I suppose I'm trying to think of it's like, no, does a proper break needs to be there between the IPL and India's next series? It's just to like, because it's a hugely intense format, T20, especially the IPL is like hugely intense. Unlike your regular white ball series, international series, it's just relentless. The IPL is relentless, and when you've played that much, you've given so much there. Cricketers are cricketers, whatever game. I mean, it's the same as us, like so it's just on multiple level. They will be they pretty much give all their best in each game they play, and they want to do that, whether it's an IPL or it's a club side, or they're playing for the international, they will give their best. But you think like that relentless nature of the IPL, whether it takes a toll on them, when they come out, they are actually like more sort of mentally and physically tired, and whether there needs to be like a 2 week break is probably not enough. There's like a bigger break, a 4 week break, for example, before they start.
I think that I would certainly say it just gives people to do other things as well. Do other, but you could schedule like exactly, there could be even at work, you do get a month vacation off or in terms of, if you're in the high intensity thing to prevent burnout and stuff. And cricketers definitely deserve at least a considerable break, more than a week. I don't think it is enough for anybody to recover mentally and physically.
I mean, the second test, there's obviously three more ODIs, and India could potentially still win the series 3-2. Seems like a difficult ask, but you never know. Again, it's just a momentum shift as we're talking about. If India win the first win the next ODI, next T20, then the momentum could potentially shift. So the next three games, let's see. I don't know whether you look to make any kind of change in terms of personnel from a squad perspective for India in the next couple of days. Who would you potentially bring in?
Probably look at
I mean,
Venkatesh Iyer.
Ventesh is one, but I think, well, it depends. Obviously, with the game in line, they might still want to go for this if they think this is the best 11. They may want to, but definitely, like you have the likes of Umran Malik.
Imran Malik definitely should be tested,
Yeah, give him an
because we got
option, and bringing in Ashdeep Singh as well. Like those are left arm medium, definitely a different option from that perspective. To try and see like if he can get something different, because right now pretty much everybody is like the right arm bowling, so Ashdeep might give a different option in terms of the left arm. Similarly, whether give Ravi Bishnoi a chance over Yuzi Chahal is a couple of options.
I think Yuzi definitely needs a break. I think 4 overs 49 even in the second game. I agree he did pick up some one wicket. I remember. I think it was the Bauma. That was the one. But he did go for many rounds. And even in that game, second game, if you really look at it, it was really the bowling that left. Bowling did some bit. I mean, 35 for Bauma, but then one, then suddenly Klaassen turns up and scores an 80, 81 at 175, aided by David Miller. So that game was India's to win. So a bit, again, batting let them down 148 was never enough. You should be
Yeah,
able to.
if you actually look at the bowling on that game, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, I mean, 4 for 13 of his 4 overs. So he, Harshal Patel as well, like 3 overs 1 for 17. So the bowling was good, bar again, Yuzi Chahal who went, and Akshar Patel, so the spinners took a bit of tap. But the pacers seem to be like, now again, Hardik Pandya was the only pacer who went the mile. But looking at the other three, Bhuvneshwar, Avesh and Harshal Patel, maybe if there was a little bit more in terms of score, you know, you never know. It may have been a possibility, but
yeah.
So that's...
Once you use seven bowlers in a T20, you know, the team doesn't have a good outing.
Yeah, so that's not... Talking about, you know, these games, let's, you know, we touched about the IPL actually. So the e-auction is currently happening for the IPL. You know, it started yesterday. So that's the rights for the next 5 years, from 2023 to 2027.
Yeah.
Interestingly, it's actually been like, you know, four different packages, I think they've decided to go for. There are like, you know, sort of A, B, C and D.
Yeah.
I think previously there used to be only three packages, I think, where one was obviously the TV rights for broadcast in India, and then there was the digital rights for broadcast in India, and then there was the rest of the world. Rest of the world digital and TV broadcasting rights. This time around, they've added a new one, which is separate rights for, I think this is package C, called special matches. So they, not the entire tournament, but there are specific matches that will also be, like, you know, shown separately. I'm not sure whether that special bouquet of matches, or it's actually only for the Indian subcontinent, which basically sort of seems to suggest that, like, you know, the package A in India is not exclusive, because you're going to get like some which will be like two channels will potentially show them. So definitely the finals, and I don't know why they've gone, you know, I'm not sure what's the between kind of package. If they wanted to go, I would have probably, like, you know, the way the English Premier League happens, there are, like, you know, sort of, yes, English Premier League does do, like, you know, packages in terms of broadcasting. I don't know how much you follow the broadcasting kind of EPL. I'm a bit of sort of nerd in terms of that, you know, kind of follow. So they have, like, you know, multiple rights packages, and this happened like a few years ago. Up until that point, it used to be like, you know, Sky used to have the entire package right, but the EU, obviously from a monopoly perspective and stuff like that, came in, and, you know, this is all politics and stuff. They said there has to be like more than two rights holders, so, you know, in terms of the competition, etc. And they broke down, like, there are actually multiple, there's like sort of A to F or A to G kind of packages with like different options where you tend to choose matches. And in fact, right now in the current right cycle for the English Premier League, there are actually three different broadcasters. So there's obviously Sky, who do the majority of the matches, and then there's BT Sports here in the UK.
Yeah, BT Sports. Yeah.
And then there's actually Amazon, who do, like, you know, a couple of packages in terms of, you know, one around the Christmas period, and one kind of, you know, sort of, you know, in a midweek period, so midweek games. So they do a couple of rights. So there's, I wonder if it would have been more sense to have, like, you know, because this to me at the minute, I mean, I'm sure, like, you know, it's not without, if we can think about things like those, I'm sure the BCCI has gone out and had, like, you know, the broadcasters and the people who do these kind of things for their day living day job. They must have, like, you know, looked at all of these things and said, okay, here's, this is the best way. So basically, I think there are about 20...
401 games is what I was...
So that's 5 years. That's
yeah, that's
over the
4 or 5 years.
5 years,
401 games. And about roughly 4.97 billion is the combined, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it's like gone up to a little bit more in terms of 5 billion, because the way that I think the work was, like, you win package A and then somebody else wins package B. Then
yeah,
the winner of package A actually has the opportunity to go back and say, actually, I'll bid more for package B. And so similarly, it's like, you know, if whoever wins package C, package B can then kind of the winner go back and say to them and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think then the price of the package B went up a little bit more. And so currently it stands for, and this is only for the rights for Indian subcontinent, so the TV and digital rights, for $5.1 billion. And then you still have the, as I said, that special 18-match package, and then the rest of the world. So at this rate, it probably feels like, you know, it will go past the 6 billion mark.
Yeah, I think it will.
That's like, you know, I mean,
That's unbelievable,
yeah.
actually. Where cricket has come growing up, when you think that cricket has
We
only
used to
done
watch
in two,
Doordarshan.
yeah, Doordarshan and
That's,
traveling in two wheelers to the pavilion.
yeah.
But then now it's just suddenly exploded. I think it's, if I'm not wrong, it's on par with the NBA in terms of the biggest televised,
Yeah.
or the television rights cost for NBA and IPL. IPL is the second, I think, in terms of the cost for television rights.
For me, the thing is, like, you know, the more interesting thing that I found was the fact that they paid, like, you know, 57.5 crore INR per match for TV rights, but then
Yeah.
the digital rights has gone to, like, you know, 50 crores. And I think
Yeah.
digital rights is just, like, you know, viewing on mobile and things like that, not
Yeah.
TV. So imagine the Indian market where, you know, they must, you know, kind of, if people are viewing it on your Disney Hotstar and or Jio,
Yeah.
whatever, things like that. That's where the other 50 crore, you know, that's, it's almost equivalent to the TV rights.
Yeah.
So looks like there are probably more people who watch, like, you know, the digital rather than the
Yeah.
linear television thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was thinking about that too. Why they have priced it, and I think it shows the maturity more in the market in terms of the mobile adoption. India already had that leapfrogging moment from the mobile, and they were, and the data still is one of the cheapest anywhere in the world. It comes as no surprise. Some of the biggest mobile providers also own the biggest broadcasting site. It becomes
Yeah.
easier to package, and especially I think this is changing times, how people consume cricket.
Yeah. I guess in some terms, you know, with 10 teams now, there's obviously more players and there's more money that
Yeah.
will go to the players as well. So definitely, like, you know, in some ways it's not far off now where, like, you know, there is an actual official, I mean, right now at this point in time, IPL, the calendar is almost free for IPL. There's no other cricket that's really happening anywhere in the world. That's more from an unofficial. But I guess it's just a matter of time before it becomes, like, you know, there is a proper ICC approved
Yeah.
calendar spot in there. I think most teams now kind of know, like, you know, that's where the IPL
Yeah.
happens. They leave the window open, and, you know, it's more kind of unofficially accepted. But it's probably not far away from the days where that will probably how it'll do. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know who's going to actually, I mean, from rumor that I'm hearing is that the TV rights have been won by Sony, who used to hold it for the first 10 years.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like, you know, the last 5 years have been with Star, and it's probably going back to go. So interesting to see, like, you know, who gets the broadcast next year, rights perspective.
I think this is to summarize, I think it must be a profitable venture for the same player to be bidding again, which means
Yeah.
something is right in terms of financially something is working out, and that's only good for cricket.
Yeah, well, it's definitely good for cricket in India in that
Yeah.
sense, because we're talking about these big sums of money purely for just the IPL broadcast rights. This is not even the broadcast rights of India's international cricket,
Yeah.
home cricket, if you like. And that would probably be a separate rights that will soon come in. But this is just for the IPL. So yeah,
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
be nice for India.
I just want to cover one more bit of news, if that's all right with you, Srini, is the retirement of Mithali Raj.
Yeah.
Just I know we kind of covered the news section, moved on, but I thought, it would be
No,
great
this
to.
you're absolutely right. You know, it's not so much news because it deserves its own, you know, discussion piece. We obviously missed our, as we said earlier, like, you know, in terms of the podcast last week, or definitely covered Mithali Raj. But yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of the word legend. Again, you know, in Indian cricket, we give it to, like, you know, Tendulkar sort of thing, you know, sort of god
Yeah.
of cricket and all that. Mithali Raj, if there was ever in women's cricket, that's probably where we will hold her up.
Yeah, she's definitely the goddess of cricket.
Yeah.
Definitely, because I was looking at some of these stats and it was just staggering, in terms of the longevity, in terms of what she is, in terms of the number of games. I think they have put a stat even in the England, New Zealand Test ban, as soon as she has announced retirement. That's just phenomenal. It's a shame that she only played 12 tests. But
Yeah.
that's not her fault, you know. The women's test, I don't think ICC is doing enough, and they don't have it in the plans at all. So 232 ODIs, 89 T20s. I think that's a staggering amount of runs, whatever numbers in doing the
Yeah,
test.
I think it's her kind of, legacy is beyond just the numbers on those stats. I think there'll probably a whole generation, the current generation of Indian cricketers who grew up like Mithali Raj and possibly like Jolan Goswami, those were the two idols, if you like, in terms of women's cricket, back, when I suppose in a much much earlier pre-Mithali Raj, she probably didn't even have. There were people like Diana Edulji or sort of Anjum Chopra, who played. But it's
Yeah.
really like Mithali Raj who probably put Indian cricket on the map, globally. And there's definitely a whole, if you take the current crop of your Harmanpreet or Jemima Rodrigues and all, they would have all watched
Yeah.
growing up Mithali Raj, and she would have been there like single most biggest idol from a women's cricket to see like how successful you can be in cricket as a sport. So yeah, it's been fantastic. It's a shame like that World Cup couple of years ago,
Yeah.
if India could have won it when they at the final at Lords, just fell short by a very very small margin. That would have been like an icing on the cake, in terms of if she had won that. But even otherwise, I think she'll definitely be remembered. It'll be a while. A trailblazer for Indian cricket is probably how I would put her, for Indian women's cricket, definitely.
I'm sure, she's got a lot to contribute to Indian cricket,
Yeah.
especially Indian women's cricket. Hopefully we see her in some capacity. And I think, I think that would be good. And age as well. I mean, she's 39. I think one of the longest serving, professional cricketers, I suppose, in the likes of Imran Tahir, Jimmy Anderson. I think that's also something to be, something to worth mentioning here.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely one. Well, okay. So let's on that note, wrap this week's podcast. So if you like the sound of this, please subscribe to this podcast and follow our website yellowandblues.com. We're also on Twitter. Our handle is at yellowandblues. Leave your reviews and ratings about this podcast on Spotify or any other platform that you get your podcast from. So until next week, it's Venkat and Trini signing off. Have a good week.